This is former FCC Commissioner Mike Copps, and you're listening to WMRWLP in Warren, Vermont.
The following program presents the views of its participants and producers. It does not necessarily represent the views of WMRW or its license holder, Rootswork.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is just afternoon on a Monday. My name is Amy, and I'm here for the 4-H show, Health, Happiness, Harmony, and Humor. And I am here as a co-host with Jerry, but Jerry is not here this week, so it's just me, but I do have a guest in the studio today. We have two guests, actually. One is going to be calling in just a few moments, and one is here live. And so I want to thank you for tuning in. We have Allison Despathy, clinical nutritionist from Danville. She ran as an independent for the legislature this year, and she's been teaching in Vermont state colleges for 20-plus years. And we're going to have a really nice conversation. We also have Allison Casavecchia calling in. She's a working mom in the kingdom. I think that's the best job description ever. So we're going to be talking about kids. We're going to be talking about raising people to, you know, be positive, healthy, happy citizens. And we are also going to be talking about the legislature and what's going on there this year. So I'm going to get this phone call, which may be Allison. And coming up next, while we get settled, is Do Not Consent, a fantastic song by Emily Lenxner and her whole team, who we had as guests last week. So thank you for tuning in. We've got an exciting show, folks. We'll get started.
Smart cities, your internet of things, no. we say no. It's invasion of our privacy. We know, we say no. A lockdown of humanity while they're putting up 5G. We say no.
Are you there? Hello?
Amy?
Yes, hello, I hear you.
Oh, good.
Oh, hi. Fantastical. Thank you for letting me fiddle with the buttons there.
Sure.
I'm going to put the other Allison on. So thank you, listeners. This is the 4-H show, and we have two guests here today. We have Allison on the phone, Allison Casavecchia, who is a working mom from the Northeast Kingdom, and Allison Despathy here in the studio. And we're going to talk about kids and legislature and whatever y'all want to talk about here on Community Radio, WMRW-FM. How's it going, Allison?
Which one?
How about I'll point at Allison?
I'll default to the studio first, I suppose.
Yeah. How are you doing today? You're the one I'm talking to.
I'm doing well.
Yeah.
I'm doing really well. It's a beautiful day.
It is. I know. We lucked out with the weather. We had to postpone this show, I think, a couple times at least. Yeah. So yeah, I wanted to invite you two amazing people on the air to share your thoughts and feelings and concerns and passions with the listeners, because you've been such an inspiration to me over the past couple of years. And I'm so glad that I met you through this whole debacle that the world has been going through.
I know. It's been so nice to meet you and work with you on all of this. It's absolutely incredible to know you. And I'm so thankful you and Jerry have been doing this, the radio station here and the show. It's really beautiful, and it's exactly what we need. It's the messaging that we need in the world right now. Absolutely. So just refresh my memory. It's health, harmony, happiness,
and humor.
And humor, of course. Well, good. Thank you so much for having us on.
Yeah, definitely our pleasure.
Yeah.
So where should we start? The main thing that the impetus that led me to invite y'all on was Allison Casavecchia, who's on the phone with us right now, connected me with this DCF report that came out about children and DCF. And I had never heard of it, and she's the one who informed me about this amazing report. And so I said, "Do you want to come on and talk about kids?" And she wanted to talk about, you want to talk about something more positive, like how can we help kids see their way through these times?
Right.
And you two have been homeschooling, and as well as educating in the community. So please, can you let us know how has it been going for you, and what have you learned?
I guess I'll jump in here first. So I would say that, to me, this is the most fundamental question. This is absolutely what we need to be talking about, because every single one of us can look around in the world and say, you know, what is happening, and we don't understand, and we're trying to understand this. We're trying to seek truth. We're trying to connect with people. We're trying to really sort of heal our society after what's gone on in the past few years. And so, to me, the most fundamental question is for our children. What are they experiencing at this time, and how can we best support them with everything they're going through, whether they're homeschooled, whether they're at schools? I think all of us are really seeing a lot of the misinformation, the misunderstandings, the divides going on in the world. So how do we sort of heal our community? How do we come together on this? And especially, how do we make sure our children have the skills and the tools that they need and the support they need to really navigate the world right now? I think, to me, that's really what's at the forefront. And I have three children. I have a 19-year-old, a 15-year-old, and an 11-year-old. And we're very, very close. We talk about what's going on in the world all the time. And sometimes they may not necessarily want to hear it. They don't want the details. But it's so important for them to be able to look and see and hear information and take in information and know what to do with that. Because there is so much propaganda. There are so many lies out there. There's such there's such trauma and abuse that has really happened out there, and it's a hard thing to talk about it. And I would say that people are coming in from so many different angles on this. People have different perspectives, different experiences, different information that they're receiving. But as a community, as a state, as friends, as family, especially with our children, we have to be able to have these open conversations. It's really actually critical to the future of humanity and the health of our children, very much so. So I would just say, sort of in short, without diving into the details quite yet, that's, to me, I'm so glad to be here. I'm so glad we have this opportunity, because it's exactly what we need to be talking about, so our children can be supported, safe, have the information and the wisdom to really thrive in this world today with everything going on out there. So, and Allison Casavecchia, I feel I want to let you talk too there, sorry.
Yeah, no, I'll take it from sort of a similar angle, but it reminds me of a couple of things from the past. So again, thanks for having me. Just a little bit of background from my perspective. So yes, I'm a working mom. I work from home. I've actually been working from home for a few years before things got a little upside down, if you will. And I have a young daughter, so she's 5. And we didn't necessarily completely move into a homeschooling atmosphere right from the beginning, but it's definitely something that we're, you know, really feel like in some ways it's the best thing based on our lifestyle and what we want to be able to promote with her and encourage her and make her thrive. And at the same time, some of it has just been, we don't feel like we have any other options, which is really unfortunate because, you know, where we are, I really love our community. I do some volunteering in our community, and I grew up with a strong ethic, work ethic from my mom, who was a single mom for a while, and just, you know, basically saw in some ways her struggle through things. And she also, you know, brought me to work and, you know, showed me how things worked. And I didn't necessarily learn how to grow my own garden or raise my own meat or any of those types of things. Those are things that I'm passing on, hopefully, to my daughter now. But I think that through line, if you will, on being able to break through the noise and make sure that there's natural and real things happening in their lives is so critical. I know, like, one of my neighbors has said, when he looks in her eyes, there's so much there. There's so much life. There's vibrancy. And I was asked by a reporter one time at the State House, you know, about why I was there and my concerns around mask mandates and stuff like that. And I just said, well, what are we doing here? We're making children fear each other and fear other and othering themselves. And that just concerned me. And I broke down and I just, you know, I was hoping that this person would see the humanity in it, that it's really not, I'm not there to, you know, tell somebody they're wrong or they're right or whatever. It's just to have a community conversation. And I think, you know, our state motto is freedom and unity, but there's also a key there is health, freedom and unity. Right? And I think that's really something that we need to be talking about in the state. So that's a little bit of what I can add to the conversation.
Right. And that balance of freedom of unity probably is what health is, right? I mean, when we have that balance between the two, and there has been a lack of both over the past couple of years especially, but even before that. And so you all have been doing some activism or raising awareness, educating in your communities for quite a while. Do you want to talk about anything you've been doing in the community before this, like before all this came along, that maybe prepared you for what you're doing now?
Yeah, I could definitely speak to that, just even with, well, one, homeschooling my children, but also in my practice with my work. As a clinical nutritionist, I've been trying hard for decades, really, to get people real information. In the nutrition world, and I think many people are tuned into this, in the nutrition world, there's a tremendous amount of misinformation. And people are so often confused about what choices to make and should I eat butter, should I not eat butter? Are eggs okay? What about the vegetable oils and margarines and grains and fat or carbs? And there's so much confusion. And really, when you come down to it, when I teach my classes in the Vermont State Colleges, when I'm working with my clients in my practice, when I'm working with my children, it's literally, you can sum up nutrition to me in like three sentences, essentially, two, three sentences. It's eat whole food in its whole form, best quality that you have access to. And it's really that simple, and that's never going to change. And so many times it gets complicated because of how we process food, because of what we add into food. And people need to realize that, especially today, I mean, you look at all the propaganda around food, right? And saturated fat and cholesterol are bad, and animals are bad for your health and for the earth, and, you know, plant-based. And this is incredibly dangerous. I mean, what have humans eaten forever? You know, humans have eaten whole foods. We've eaten animal products. We've eaten, you know, our plant foods. That is the food that will heal people. That is the nourishment that we need. And I feel like so many times things get complicated. People get confused. I think of my sister in this. She's like, oh, they change their mind in nutrition all the time. She's like, you know, but just, I don't even care. I can't even pay attention to it anymore. And it's like, no, but that's really not the truth. Like, eggs are a good whole food. Butter is a good whole food, and we need to eat these. We need to seek them out. This is where our nutrients are. And on a physical level, this is what we're made of. You know, we're made of nutrients on a physical level. And that's where I would also go, and I'd mention the Weston Price Foundation. So Sally Fallon, who heads that, and she wrote Nourishing Traditions. But the Weston Price Foundation, I just can't emphasize that enough as a resource for people. Mm-hmm. WestonAPrice.org. It's absolutely amazing. It's of all the nutrition information over decades that I've been looking at, researching, teaching about, that is the most rock solid. Mm-hmm. And it is, I think, really a good guide for people to get comfortable and get real wisdom around food. Mm-hmm. And this is a differentiation I always make with my children and my students, is like knowledge versus wisdom, right? Every single one of us can hop on the computer, pick up our phone, you know, search out information, get data, get, you know, this, that, or the other. And the other thing that's tough is you can find all different sides of the story online. Like, what is true? What is right? You know, that's not wisdom. Wisdom is the information that comes from indigenous people that has been passed down, that we then can take and hold and carry on and pass to our children. Mm. And that to me is, I think, one of the most important things right now. And I think, in my opinion, a really important message for our children is, what is this wisdom? How do we hold on to and make sure that children get the wisdom that they need to take care of themselves properly, to know what is real food, to seek out real water, to know how to protect their bodies from the EMFs and all the phones and 5G and 6G? How do you create a space where you can really take care of yourself? And that to me is such an important piece for all of us, but especially that gets passed on to our children. And I was saying this at the candlelight vigil that Children's Health Defense and Health Choice Vermont did, I think it was December 5th that we were all over there at the State House. And our society and humanity right now, I feel like for a while, but especially the past few years, we've just been, we've been bashed. You know, it's been shredded, and it's really, we've taken a toll. And so how do we, I was calling us the weavers, you know, how do we reweave our society and humanity so we have something beautiful to pass on to our children? And that to me is the goal of, how do we get them that information, ensure they have that information so that they can thrive and humanity can, you know, survive and be healthy along the way. So
that is the question of the hour.
It is.
Yeah. Allison, yeah. On the phone, do you want to weigh in?
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, I'm glad that she brought Weston A. Price up, because that's actually one of the best things I think that that parents can hand down to their children is, Allison mentioned, I think, the cookbook, but there's also a children's version of it that I got my daughter for her birthday this fall, and it is, she is absolutely immersed in it. It's such a good book for understanding basic nutrition and understanding how to nourish your body, both for adults and for children, but it's written in such a way that it really explains things without being scary, but just kind of, you know, the commercial, what's on the shelf in terms of a cereal, for example, but how alternatively you could make something healthy for yourself. And I'll tell you, if you're looking, if I've never had a picky eater, but if you have one, this is a great book to start off with, because it's their book. They get to help, and, you know, she just absolutely loves making food and doing it together, you know, with her mom and just in general and just owning it. And I think that just if you, the basic tenets of that book and the nutrition that they're learning in terms of like raw milk and, you know, we have our own eggs and in using them and just that connection of, you know, of nurturing your body and your mind and being happy. It's just, it's so simple, but it's so key. And I feel like, you know, for myself, when we, it harkens me back to when we first acquired our home here in Vermont. And, you know, the first thing we did was, I always love to tell the story, is we had, we cut the wires, you know, for the television, and we dug up the front yard and put in gardens. And, you know, that was just what, we were just thrilled, and we lost power for like 10 days one day, and we thought we were like, you know, living back in pioneering days, just, you know, with our candles and bailing water up from the brook and stuff like that. And I just think that being able to get rid of some of this noise that's around us and being able to connect on more of a human level and being able to tap into, like Allison's saying, you know, I didn't grow up as an Indigenous person, but I certainly can learn a lot from what came before. And I think that's really what I'm trying to pass on, you know, to both my child and honestly those around me, you know, nieces and nephews, as much as I can, because it's just such a different approach than what I see, which is, you know, put a smartwatch on them and, you know, throw them in front of the boob tube and, you know, and that's parenting. I think that's what we're seeing, a lot of the problems that we're seeing today is because it takes effort. But there's so much positive that can come out of it. You know, it's hard, but it's also just so rewarding when you see them connect and go out in nature and just explore and want to know more. You know, I just got her for Christmas a book that I had heard on another radio station that I love to listen to. And there was an author on there that's from, I believe, Southern Vermont that wrote a book about mushrooming. You know, very simple, very great children's book. It's called Mason Goes Mushrooming, and we read it last night, and it's just, she was just totally immersed and said, Mom, can we go, you know, out and look for mushrooms in the spring? You know, that kind of thing. So I just think that, you know, both with family and with community, having more of that connection, you know, intimate connection with each other and working together, that's really what I long for, honestly. And one of the reasons why I moved here. So that's where I'm coming from.
Absolutely. I think that's huge. And just you bringing up just that connection with nature, and I think many people do have connections with nature, but really trying to ensure and sort of really support that connection with nature for all of us, but also for our children, so that they have that as a root. Because I feel like we're reclaiming a lot of this wisdom. We're reclaiming for humans what it means to take care of ourselves, what it means to feed ourselves well, to connect and grow community, and to be out in nature and to connect with it. Really natural life. And I feel that so many people in Vermont really do prioritize that. But I will also say, in my experience in teaching at the community colleges and in the Vermont State College system, so much of it is based on upbringing. So I would go back to that, just the importance of upbringing. And people obviously have different experiences for many different reasons regarding their upbringing. And I think of many people who, they didn't have access to whole food. They don't know, you know, what is real food and how do I nourish myself and how do I cook? They don't have that information. And I just wrapped up a semester where I was teaching some nutrition classes, and I had many students who for the first time were, I'm buying butter. You know, I'm cooking eggs. You know, I'm actually trying to learn how to cook. You know, so people are coming in from very different levels, and this is where, or very different sort of experiences. And this is where, Allison, like you're saying, Autumn is 5 years old, and you're starting right in with all of this information and experience for her, and all of this thought process and the skills and the tools, you know. And I think that so many people as adolescents, teenagers, adults are trying to to learn that, because they haven't learned that. So I think I would also bring an emphasis back to that upbringing. You know, like, what can we do as parents to really try to ensure that our children have these skills, this wisdom, so that they are prepared to take care of themselves, to take care of their families, their friends, their communities, to go out and to thrive. It's something that I feel like really has been broken over the past chunk of time, and we need to really put a conscious effort into reclaiming that practice of how we raise kids and getting them the information they need to thrive. So, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, one of the other things I would add, too, that I absolutely myself, you know, reconnected with, and I'm just so glad that we did, is, you know, we watch a lot of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, in fact, there was a vigil that we did. Allison mentioned the one that I didn't attend, but that was in December. But we had one in Lindenville last year. And, you know, the purpose of it was just to come together as a community, because there was a lot of harm. You know, no matter where you were coming from, whether, you know, you were sick from a virus, or you lost your job because there was a mandate, or, you know, you had an adverse reaction to receiving a vaccine, you know, or a shot. Really, it was just to come together and just acknowledge that there's been harm and you know, just to try to heal together. Mm-hmm. And at the end of that whole gathering, we all sang, you know, like a Mr. Rogers song, and my daughter was sort of right in the middle of the whole thing, and it was just so empowering. And I just feel like, you know, there's a lot of lessons to learn from that show and how they approach things. And, you know, they didn't shy away from the fact that there are different people at different places in their lives, or their physical capabilities, or what, or, you know, the color of their skin, or what have you, right? But they did it in such a way that it was to, in a positive way, to encourage children, mm-hmm. and to make sure that they, you know, that they know that people have different skill sets, right? But there's lots to learn together, and there's a way forward together. And I feel like there, that's really what I want to see. You know, there was a lot of people that just sort of closed up and got very defensive, mm-hmm. And didn't want to talk about things. And I feel like that's really where we need to be going forward, is to have, a word that came to my mind was like compassion, to really have compassion for people where they're at. You know, I don't know everything, I will never know everything, but I really have compassion, and I really want to connect with other people, and I really want to heal together. And I don't want to have, you know, all this division and all this left-right paradigm stuff going on. I really want to heal together as a community. I want to connect together. I want to have real solutions for problems and all of that good stuff. And the only way we do that is that we talk and we come together as a community. And it's not over computer. You know, it's actually physically in-person, you know, community gatherings and working together and, you know, all the things that happen, really, honestly, when there's a disaster, you know, or something like that, and people sort of shed their political affiliations, and they actually come together to help rebuild, right? So that's really what I'm hoping to see, and hoping to have some impact, you know, in our little neck of the woods. So.
Yeah, and I think that those conversations, hopefully that's going to continue to grow and happen as people heal from the trauma that people have been through. I mean, so much trauma, physical trauma, emotional trauma, just a lot of stress that we've been through. And I think some people are aware of it, and some people aren't even aware of it because they're still sort of locked in it. And obviously fear doesn't help any of us. And we all have different experiences and thoughts through everything that's just gone on. But the ability to have some conversations and connect and try to understand where each other's coming from. And like you said, Allison, it's nobody knows everything. None of us have all the answers and all the information. But the only way we get there is by having the conversations. And I would say that I feel like that's what's been tricky to a strong degree in this state, is the inability of people in positions of power and creating policy, who some are very willing to engage and others will not engage. And that's difficult, because we all have a voice and we all really need to have and hold some of these conversations, as difficult as they may be. And through everything that we're talking about, one of the things that comes to my mind a lot, because I felt this the entire way through the past several years, is there's been such an emphasis on treatment. You know, here you need to mask, you need to isolate, you need to vaccinate, you know, wash your hands, do all this stuff. It's like treatment versus the prevention end. There's not been the emphasis on prevention, meaning how do you build your immune system? How do you keep yourself healthy? I mean, repeatedly throughout history with any sort of pandemic, this is the most important piece, is a healthy individual is going to be best protected. And that's where, how do you make that happen? Not only for all of us and especially for our children. And that's where it's looking at, you know, obviously we live in Vermont, you know, there's, I look at thousands and thousands of vitamin D tests, you know, and I've seen a small, literally count them on my hand, handful of people who have had adequate vitamin D, you know, so how do we, just coming in from that angle, and then vitamin A, there's been such a push on low fat diets and fat is bad. And I think people are slowly coming out of that. But with that, you have vitamin A deficiency. You know, so it's like eat your butter. I can't even tell you, when my son and his wife come over, I'm always trying to, you know, give them butter. Here, I want you to get your vitamin A. I mean, and it was really interesting. And I'll just point out, in my practice, I've always worked with vitamin A. And I also should say there's a really big difference between natural vitamin A and synthetic vitamin A. Synthetic vitamin A is highly, highly toxic. And natural vitamin A, so from things like Good Whole Dairy, especially, you know, high quality local raw whole dairy, good quality meat, good quality eggs, our butter, etc. In my practice, I've always used that to help people with warts, you know, warts anywhere, HPV, etc., human papillomavirus. And over the past few years, I've noticed that dermatologists have started to talk to people about vitamin A and warts. People would come into my practice and I'm like, oh my gosh, that's amazing. And unfortunately, there was still a push for synthetic vitamin A, which is not what we want. We want the natural vitamin A for sure. It's 100% safer. But just even seeing that connection with vitamin A and a virus, like, we know the role that vitamin A plays in protecting mucous membranes. Most of us associate it with our eyes and our vision health, but protecting mucous membranes, protecting against infections. So there wasn't, and I maybe as a nutritionist, I'm probably also very biased, but none of that conversation was happening over the past few years about what can we be doing to eat properly? You know, what about vitamin D levels? What about vitamin A levels? Instead of COVID tests for everybody, could we do vitamin D tests for everybody? You know, could we check that and try to get our population squared away? And when we know that there's also, you know, with COVID, as an example, when you know that over 70, especially with 3 or 4 comorbidities, that's what's going to put somebody at risk, just like anyone who is unhealthy and older is going to be at risk for any type of infection. Same thing played out with COVID. So how do we then try to help people with obesity, diabetes, heart disease? You know, those are conversations that, again, I feel like should be really a part of this as we try to figure out how to help our children, ourselves, our communities, our state really be healthy and thrive together. Mm-hmm. It's a part of it. So,
yeah, I mean, I just heard something not too long ago, I think it was the other week, you know, that they're actually changing the BMI because with children, because mm-hmm. there's such a need, because, well, I don't even call it a need. It's really actually really sad and disturbing, because there is such an obesity crisis in this country. And it's because, again, you know, we're focusing on bigger is better, you know, factory farms and CAFOs, you know, and that type of approach to feeding people. And the reality is that, like Allison said, you know, obviously if you can eat, you know, 100% organic, that's great, but that's not the reality for a lot of people, especially in this day and age with, you know, and prices going up on things. But putting our resources towards people being able to access good, nutritious food and clean water and being able to get outside and have those healthy connections, you know, and everything is so critical. And I feel like that's, you know, we talk about where we've got all this influx of money coming into the state for this, that, and whatever, for, you know, and infrastructure is important. Obviously, you need, you know, good roads and all that kind of stuff. But if you don't have good infrastructure in your own body, in your own mind, mm-hmm. you know, in your own spirit, mm-hmm. I don't think that any amount of billions of dollars coming in for ARPA money is going to change what we need for the future, what we leave for the future. And I would argue You know, something that I've been thinking a lot about is just, you know, where dollars would really be best spent is people like permaculturists, you know, that can come into a place and look at how do you best use the resources and have them working together, that weaving that Allison's talking about, but, you know, with animals and with plants and, you know, being able to actually have true food hubs within each. Wouldn't that be amazing to have a permaculturist on your town board, you know, or focus on that, you know, as something that's critical for resources and, you know, for good soil health. So, you know, I feel like that's, and Allison, you know, has written a lot about this as well, is that those are real solutions in my mind to the problems that ail us. I mean, I think that somebody said the other day, I was listening to a program, like, even if you put all of the wind turbines and solar that you could in Vermont, right, in viable places, whatever that means, you'd only really still provide 25% of the power that is currently consumed in the state. You know, so that's not a solution. Electric vehicles everywhere is not a solution because our grid cannot handle it. You know, so we have to look for real solutions, and we have to look, again, starting with the home, starting with what we can do, you know, in our own towns, to support each other, to be able to bring back that community, you know, working together and building, you know, together and having the meeting house and all that good stuff. You know, town meeting, you know, it scares me that we're going to lose that. We've already seen that in the last few years. You know, there's been pressure on bringing the community together and actually being able to have, you know, people be able to speak to what's happening in their community, how money is spent, and what the focus should be. That is so critical. And that does not happen in a lot of parts of other parts of the country. So I think there's a lot of common ground that people have in the community, and we've got to get back to that piece of it, because we agree on a lot. There's, I think, more that we agree on a lot of people do in this state than not. And I do feel like people need to understand that it's not okay to be able to, you know, basically shut certain people out because you don't like what they have to say. That's so critical to being able to move forward together and to be able to teach the next generation that, you know, it's important to have debate, to be able to hear maybe, you know, opinions that you don't agree with. I mean, I always, for myself, I like to listen to a lot of different things, even if it's something that I wouldn't normally agree with, just because I take the best of what I hear and I try to incorporate that into my own processes. You know, again, I'm not a perfect person, but I think having an open mind, that's the key. An open mind, an open heart, right? And being able to be able to sit down and agree to, you know, to disagree. That is something I think that we need more of in this state and just in the world in general, right? So I think that's where we need to move to, and I feel like if more people would be able to, you know, just take a step back and you know, say let's start on and you know a footing that we both want positive things in this world for ourselves and for the next generation and start there.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah, and thinking of the children mm-hmm. who have been left out of all of this, it seems like, and yeah, I'm glad that you know the freedom and unity. It seems to be what you know what we're aiming for here. And I just want to let folks know that you are listening to WMRW, where we do have a community radio station that allows people to come on and speak their truth and their beliefs, whatever they happen to be at that moment. And we are so honored right now to have Allison Despathy, a clinical nutritionist, here in the studio, and Allison Casavecchia on the phone, a working mom in the kingdom. And what, do you guys have any resources, places people can find support in doing what you're doing with your kids?
I would say definitely the Weston Price Foundation from a nutrition standpoint, I feel like is a really good resource. As I mentioned, westonaprice.org is amazing. And then I think it's also from, as Allison was talking about, being able to look at the different sides of the story and have debate and have these conversations with our children is so important. So I think regardless if a child is homeschooled or going to school, to be able to have the conversations of what did you learn today? You know, what are they teaching you, or what did we talk about today? And now let's look at that from different angles. We have to really, I think, emphasize making sure that children can think critically, can ask the questions, You know, I remember when I was younger, I feel like I was trained to ask questions. We would always do stories with holes. You know, here's a story. We don't know the answer. This is the scenario. You guys have to figure it out. So it just was ask questions. Keep asking the questions. If something doesn't add up or you're not sure about it, keep diving in further. My 15-year-old right now is using a book called Opposing Views, and it's all about looking at constitutional rights, you know, freedom of speech and privacy laws, etc. And here are some different opinions on them. Here are the different views. And when we talk about these things and when we look at it, like Allison was saying, from different angles, that's how we also hone our beliefs. Mm-hmm. That's how we really also try to really figure out, where do I land on this issue? Because some of these issues are so difficult. You know, it's like, how do you create solutions and find answers to problems? You know, when you talk about housing and you talk about the, you know, the whole climate agenda stuff, it's how do you find answers to what's happening in the world environmentally? How do you find answers to what's, you know, happening with our children in schools that people are very, very divided on, you know, with regards to curriculum and social emotional, you know? And it's like, we have to engage not only as a community about what is best, what should a school be? What should public health be? Like, you can go to these fundamental questions, right? And I think we have to go to these fundamental questions so that we can really have a conversation about all of it. And especially with regards to our kids. And I will say, there is an author, his name is Charles Kovacs, K-O-V-A-C-S. And he has written a bunch of books for kids, from botany, science, history, etc. And I have just always found them an amazing tool, whether it's a homeschool tool or alongside a child, you know, who's getting getting an education at school. It's a very, very useful book, really important perspective. And the other thing that I would emphasize, two things at least that I do a lot with my children with homeschool, is history. They have absolutely, in my opinion, have got to understand where we've been, what's gone on, you know, how we've landed where we currently are landing, and what we want it to look like moving forward. Because we have a lot of, we do have a level of control and influence over that if we decide to put the time and energy in. You know, so I feel like that history piece is really big. And then I also feel the dystopian novels. We do tons of dystopian novels. I mean, all across the board, from Animal Farm to 1984 to Brave New World to Feed, This Perfect Day. They're cautionary tales. You know, Feed, think about M.T. Anderson. He wrote Feed. That's sort of a more recent one. And it's essentially about Neuralink. You know, what do we think about that? Okay, kids, let's have this conversation. You know, it brings up the opportunity to talk about the tools and technology are exponentially growing. We can't even keep up, right? They're just on the loose. So what do we think about these tools? What do we think about this technology? What should we do with it? You know, personally, what should we do with it? What should we do with it as a society? You know, so I think that those books are also helpful because they allow us to engage on conversations that are really important for kids to think about as they evolve and grow themselves. So, yeah, those would be some of the resources and tools that I would come back to.
Yeah, and I would also add, I think that, you know, for myself and our family, just, you know, the adults, if you will, in terms of, you know, books that have really been helpful in terms of, you know, I didn't know how to grow my own food per se before I moved here, and, you know, we have just a tremendous library from Chelsea Green.
Mm-hmm.
We are so lucky to have such an amazing publisher in the state, putting out, you know, all kinds of books. I mean, you know, there's a plethora of things. If you want to know how to grow your own food, or an underground house, or, you know, root cellar, or, you know, any of those types of things, if that's what, you know, keeps you going, there's a whole plethora of those. If you want to get more into the political, or, you know, some of the philosophical, you know, questions of the day. I mean, I think that they have done free speech is such a critical thing. I mean, one of the things that Allison talking about history, you know, even with my young daughter, you know, I have a magnet with the Bill of Rights on the refrigerator, and, you know, we've started to, you know, explain and say to her, you know, like, we should feel so fortunate to live in this country with all the problems. There's so many things you can point to, right, that are stains in the history of this country, right? But there's so much good. And there's reasons why people want to come here. There's reasons. And one of those reasons is our Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the fact that people, you know, they in other countries, you know, they can't speak up for themselves. They can't question their government. And those are the types of things that, you know, we need to hold and as citizens be responsible for, not only for ourselves and exercise them, but also for our children and to say, like, this is important. You know, there are people that came before that have fought that, you know, whether you believe in what we do, you know, in another country, I'm not going to get into that, you know, that I have mixed feelings and so, as many do. But I think that it's still important to say there are some guiding principles that some critical rights that we have in this country that we need to be very mindful of and exercise and make sure that we are keeping them for the next generation, just like those before us, you know. So that, to me, is so critical. And I think that's really what, you know, woke me up, you know, 15 years ago or something like that, from sort of my sleep of just thinking, you know, I can just go throughout the world and I don't have to worry about anybody else and, you know, just be in my own little happy place. You know, no, there actually are some responsibilities that we have. You know, as Americans. And I think that I welcome anybody who believes in freedom, who, you know, to this country. I mean, the more people that believe in that and hold that as sacred, I welcome them. I really do. And I think that, although I've never been to one, I would really like to be a part of a naturalization ceremony one of these days to better understand what that looks like and to feel that, because that must just be such an amazing feeling to become, you know, a naturalized citizen. So I just want to mention that as well.
Yeah, it really is important for kids to understand these concepts of freedom and our constitutional rights and things. I just picked up a book from my local library, and it's I think it's published by the United Nations, and it's about global citizenship and your rights. And you know, the right freedom of speech is not even listed in there. In the whole book, it really is turning our rights into human needs. You have a right to get your needs met, which of course, I mean, you know, it gets really complicated. So I do a children's show that is aired here on WMRW on Saturday mornings. And I've been reading a book about a young man growing up behind the Iron Curtain. Mm-hmm. And it's called The Genius Under the Table by Eugene Yelchin. And it's for like middle schoolers, like I'd say 10-year-olds old and up. And it's a really good, well-told story, but I had to kind of debate, you know, presenting this kind of material to kids. I mean, it's presented really well. The author does a fantastic job. It was his own childhood, and it brings up tons of issues. I mean, not only between Russia and the U.S., we have a war, you know, brewing. There are so many issues, but the main thing is he's not allowed to ask questions.
Wow.
And it's so powerfully explained, and the scapegoating and, you know, mm-hmm. different types of prejudice that the government instills. And I think it's really about this concept of, you know, government's trying to trick us into we don't have abundance. We don't have enough. We don't, you know, have enough to share. So, you know, it was funny that you mentioned, Allison, Mr. Rogers, because he did an episode after 9/11. And he talks to the kids about, you know, loss and death. And this is something that I, you know, go back and forth with my kids show. I want to cut to the chase and give real information. But I also want to be, you know, positive, uplifting, child friendly. So you all have been walking this line with your own kids.
Mm-hmm.
How does that play out? How do you do that?
Yeah, I would say that in our house, and I have a different age range than Allison Casavecchia here. We are totally just honest and open about all of it. Like, our kids know everything that we're questioning with, you know, COVID vaccines and food information and propaganda in the news. It's we question all of it, and we're all out there right with it having those conversations. And I know that it's interesting in some families, because there's some families that where the parents may disagree on certain things going on in the world. And I think that can sometimes also make it difficult of how you present information about the world. How do you help your children understand the world if you're not on the same page? But again, you go back to, let's have the conversations. Let's talk about this. I feel this way. You know, the other parent might feel this way. In our household, my husband and I are on the same page with a lot of how we see the world and what we feel is important to prioritize to the children. And so with every conversation that we have on all the topics, they're literally right with us. And I feel like we don't have censor on that information because they're at the age where, okay, let's talk about this stuff. And back to what Allison was saying with regards to, you look at all the persecution that's gone on throughout history. Like, people have never, ever had the rights that we have in this country before. Like, this is, it's so important to recognize that piece of, you know, there was the English common law and the English Bill of Rights, but then looking at this Bill of Rights, like, we feel differently about things. People feel differently, people have different belief systems, and we've created this space in this country, right, and in other parts of the world where that's okay. That's good. We can live our different paths. We can believe our different things. You know, we may have different values, etc. But that's okay. That's acceptable. That's here. You know, and that's, I think, also the beauty of going back to what Allison was talking about, you know, the Bill of Rights and the rights of the people, is that's okay. We don't all have to think alike. We don't all have to believe all the same things. Like, we are different, and that's to be respected. And that's another thing that I talk to my children about, is just the compassionate warrior. Like, you are a compassionate warrior. And just keeping in mind the compassion piece is huge, and respecting what somebody else believes and where they're coming from. But then also the warrior part, like, you need to also be able to stand up for yourself and protect yourself.
Allison, are you there still?
Oh, did she get bumped?
I think we lost you.
Okay.
Hello, Allison. Hold on a second.
Hello, are you there?
I am.
Oh, good.
Okay, good, good.
That gave me a chance to practice again. Thank you. You're such good teachers.
I don't think it was on my end, but it could have been.
Yeah, no, and that's what I was just saying, just basically coming to the compassionate warrior piece of, go out there and respect others, but also stand up for yourself and know your rights and know your place in the world and know your self-worth and your self-value, and hopefully encouraging, you know, children to really know that, to feel it, and to have the confidence to stand up for themselves. Like, no, I'm not gonna wear a mask. That is not okay for me. I don't feel good. There's no safety on that. They're not effective. I'm gonna say no. Like, really being able, and I know that might be a strong thing to say, and people feel very differently about it, but people need to know their rights, and you are the only one that is gonna protect yourself. Like, honestly, you are the only one that can stand up for yourself when you know something is right or wrong and you need to take action. And that's a difficult thing, but how do you sort of instill that strength, right? And that's where I think for a child to have the knowledge of, these are your rights, this is what it takes to be healthy, this is how you take care of yourself. And if they have the self-worth and the value for themselves and others, then they'll do this. You know, then they will be supported and they will be able to stand up for themselves and protect themselves. And I feel like that's a very important thing right now, because there's a lot of experimentation that's going on right out there. You know, it's a lot of experimentation on the people right now. And I think that people need to know that they can protect themselves. How do they protect themselves? And to create sanctuary space, you know, in their homes, in their families, friends, communities, where they can be safe and supported. It's a really big thing today.
Well, and I heard recently, it reminds me of something I was listening to on the radio. As you can, understanding, I listen to a lot of radio, but I was listening to, I think it was an NYU professor who was speaking about a course that he was giving and talking about technology and, you know, impact and just, you know, and talking with the students. And, you know, basically, they feel trapped. They feel trapped because they've grown up with the phone always being there. And being able to, you know, if you don't get enough likes, you have no self-worth, right, on your phone or Facebook or Instagram or any of these types of things, right? And to me, that is something that needs to be addressed, because the technology is just going to keep getting more and more invasive, and more. And so it's a matter of what are we doing to make sure that, yes, technology is, you know, important. If it's used in the right way, it can provide huge benefits. I mean, we've seen that through, you know, our lifetimes and obviously our parents before us and so forth. But at the same time, we also have to be able to be acknowledging what is it that we are holding up to our ear, or, you know, in our pocket or whatever, you know, and have those conversations, really look, not just that, oh, it's convenient, it's what everybody does, and, you know, that's what I often get from some family members. Well, it's just what you do. Well, no, it's actually not what we do. We need to be able to step back and say, this doesn't, you know, this doesn't feel right, this is wrong, like, what, you know, and instill in them that that's okay to say. And not, as parents, feel like you're obligated because there's this peer pressure to keep up with the Joneses, to have the latest and greatest of everything. You need to step back and say, what is that doing to my child? Is that appropriate? You know, what is that going to mean? Do they, you know? So that's, I think, where I am hoping that people get to, because I hear a lot on the radio now, a lot of people talking about on NPR and stuff, which I find promising, the fact that they do want to reconnect, that they are concerned about technology. And I wish I could remember the specific show and when it was, but there was a really good show recently on NPR talking about just that, and the promise of actually looking at analog and what we may want to do in analog ways and not 100% digital all the time. So mm-hmm. I think there is some positive. I take some hope in the fact that some of those folks that were, you know, maybe just wanting people to stay under their rock, you know, if they bought anything up about mandates or anything like that, that they're understanding that maybe this is not what we want to be, that we do want to connect, that that is how humans are, that we do need each other. And I find that to be a positive breaking through, if you will, and a little light coming in with people. So I think we just have to keep talking with people and providing people grace and being humble and mm-hmm. and just trying to let people heal and for us to learn, because, you know, I don't know everything, and I am learning from other people just like yourselves as to, you know, what my world should be and what it can be. So I think that's part of it, and I feel like there can be a renaissance if we work together to do that. So I think that there's a lot of promise there. And I think we have to, because we have children that we're raising that need something that is better than what we're dealing with today.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. Wow. Inspirational conversations that we're having here today. I want to let listeners know that this is exactly why I invited the Allison team on today, was because I feel like parents out there and families are really struggling with boundaries. There's between, you know, health mandates and experimentation, to school curriculum, to technology. And so we're going to continue our conversation for just a few more minutes. We have until about 25 after 1 o'clock, so we are going to continue, but it's the top of the hour. So let me just do a little business and let folks know that you are listening to WMRW 94.5 FM, 94.5 FM on your dial. We are WMRWLP out of Warren, Vermont. You can also find us streaming online at WMRW.org. And you can also find shows for up to 2 weeks in the archive on that website as well. And let's see. And this is the 4-H show with Amy Hornblass and Jerry Procaccini. We'll be back next week. She has another amazing guest lined up. We've just had such amazing folks coming on. And this is what's giving me hope these days is, you know, even though there seems to be a concerted effort to isolate us and abuse us and traumatize us and trigger people and just send them running and make them feel hopeless. However, at the same time, I'm seeing this resurgence, just like you said, Allison, is like a rebirth of humanity. We're realizing how much these things like connection and nature really, really matter. So just speaking of technology for a moment, I know that's a subject a lot of parents struggle with, is having boundaries in this day and age with technology. What do you all have to say about that? How does that work at your house, and how do you make that work?
Right. I would say we don't even have Wi-Fi or any sort of internet at our house. I mean, we have our devices, which we really try to practice some good etiquette around, just with regards to how much time we're on them, making sure they're, you know, not near us and they're turned off when we're sleeping. And I think that's important for kids to know. And back to what Allison was saying, just with regards to technology, it can be absolutely amazing. I mean, here we are talking on airwaves, you know, it's incredible. But it's also, we have to be so cautious. We have to be cautious and remember that technology is a tool, and we don't want to become the tools of technology. You know, so what are those boundaries that we have around it? And what technology do we embrace and do we want to allow into our house? What technology do we not want in our house? So I think that's obviously, it's going to be a really personal decision for people, for individuals and families. But I feel that we also really have to practice, we have to be very conscious as we move forward as to what technologies do we want to incorporate. You know, how do we feel about Neuralink? You know, how do we feel about a microchip like they do in some Scandinavian countries, you know, underneath your arm? Like, what do you think about that technology? And I think that those are conversations that we need to have with kids so they can find, try to find a balance and protect themselves with it. Again, that's a lot of experimentation. And, you know, we just really don't know the repercussions of that. And then really just the question of how much do we need? How do we maintain a connection with nature and natural life, you know, as we try to also then utilize some of the technology that can move us forward and that we feel like has something to offer to us. Mm-hmm. So I feel like today, obviously, as we know, it's a really important conversation with kids and having some limitations, because the other thing is those screens are addicting. I mean, you ask kids, you ask adults. I mean, scrolling. Allison was talking about the liking aspect. You know, people are creating these, like, you know, sort of communities online. But what about our real world? You know, living in this real world together with humans and handshakes, you know, and actual interaction and smiles.
Smiles.
I know, right? And that's the piece that I also feel like, I think Vermont has a really unique opportunity with regards to thinking about and consciously creating, like really consciously thinking about, what do we all want Vermont to look like? You know, do we want to interact with a machine? Do we want to do all our business online? You know, or do we want these brick and mortar places where we can go and we can see human faces and shake a hand and work with people in a community way versus everything just being digitized and in this 4D world? You know, I think that's another thing. I think we need to hold on to humanity as we move forward with everything that's offered technologically on screens for people right now. It's just, how do you keep human connection and humanity alive through this time? Yeah.
Just a small task.
Yeah.
y'all are up for it, though, I'm sure.
Just a little.
And do you want to jump in, Allison? Technology, how are you managing technology in your household? And
yeah, so we are completely wired, and we don't do any wireless. In fact, when I've had the phone company here for repair, you know, and they had to give us a new router, because I do work from home, so I do rely on my internet connection as slow as it is. That's fine with me. It works for what I need, you know, to basically, you know, how do you get in there and turn off the Wi-Fi so it does not come on? Because in our house in particular, one of my household members is very sensitive. I am too, but not as sensitive as this person is. And, you know, it is something that I'm really conscious of. So it's made it interesting for sure as for the work that I do. Anyhow, it's that's kind of our place. When I was actually, I had my child at home, a home birth with the midwives, and that was a little interesting because I told them that they could not have their cell phones, you know, in the house with us. We just didn't want that. So it's made it kind of tough, you know, with family and stuff like that. But for the most part, people have been respectful. But, you know, it's so ingrained in everybody's, you know, 80% of the, you know, 911 calls these days are wireless. You know, so it's, there's not too many people that still, you know, are focused on having like a landline. As important as I think that is, you know, there's fewer and fewer of us. So, you know, it's the world that we live in. It's just that I feel like we need to be respectful and not assume that everybody wants, you know, to be recorded all the time or on somebody's video camera and stuff like that. And you know, it just have that etiquette, if you will, of you know, turning off your phone and putting it away if you're, you know, if you're at someone's home, and you know, that type of thing. So I think that I think it's becoming even more difficult. I was having a conversation recently about this with some people of just, you know, like everybody's house getting smarted up in the Internet of Things and how everything's talking to each other. And it's, to me, it's just completely a place of just, it's just a, it's completely, you know, feels like you're being spied on and listened to all the time. And it's an uncomfortable feeling. It makes you not want to visit. And so I just feel like that's, I think people just need to think about that, and the fact that, you know, privacy is something that they should hold as important and integral, and we don't want to lose sight of that. You know, as that is, privacy is so important, and being able to have conversations with people that are intimate conversations that you know it's just between the two of you, I mean, that's important. So I think that we, it's something people should think about and not default and say, oh, well, everybody has my data at this point anyway, so, you know, if I'm not doing anything wrong, what is the big deal? I think that's a really profound statement that people have to step back and really think about, because, you know, it's one of the things where, well, maybe it's something that you don't agree with today, you know, and so you can say, oh, well, those people, you know, they're crazy, like, you know, we don't need to worry about them. And then when it comes to something you care about, and a whole bunch of people disagree with you, you still want to be able to have the ability to have that thought, you know, to be able to think for yourself, have the privacy. I just think that it's really integral that people think and you know, in this regard, because when things are gone, they don't easily come back. So, yeah.
And even the ethics around all of the technology, you know, we have this technology, you know, what do we actually do with it? What is acceptable and okay to do with it? I think of one of my students. I always, in a Wellness for Life class that I teach, I always do sort of an ethics and technology section. And so we looked at digital twinning, we looked at smart houses, and the fact that there are no privacies on data, you know, in this country. We have no privacy protection at all. And you can talk to, there's a friend of mine who's a lawyer, and he had worked in Europe, and he said that, you know, Facebook, Google, they don't even like doing business as much with Europe, because at least they have some degree of protection. Compared to here, it's like the Wild West, you know? Right. So again, like Allison said, some people will just say, oh, it doesn't matter, I got nothing to hide. But that's not even the point. You know, that's not the point. When so much of people's life and world is transacted online, and that all becomes fair game to be used, abused, manipulated in any which way, we have to start talking about the ethics behind some of this. But back to my student, anyway, in this class, we were talking about it. We were talking about digital twins, and we were talking about even, what do they call them, AirPods, where the kids put the things in their ears, you know, to hear music, and it's essentially, you know, wireless right through the brain, right?
Right.
And we are electrical beings. My goodness, and back to the nature connection. So we have our alpha waves of our brain, like 7.83 hertz, so is the Earth. So the alpha waves of our brain and the Earth are literally on the same frequency. Mm. Like, that's amazing. You think about the whole practice of grounding. You think about how good nature makes us feel. Like, there's a real reason for that. So then you start throwing frequencies in the mix, and of course there's going to be, you know, there's going to be dangers. There's going to be disease. There's going to be risks. And so she told me, after doing that whole section, she wrote me like this long email. She was like, I have had headaches and migraines for years. She was like, and after reading about the AirPods and getting into some of the electromagnetic frequency stuff, she's like, I always slept with my phone underneath my pillow. And I'm like cringing, like, oh my gosh, she sleeps with her phone under her pillow. And she's like, they're gone. Like, she stopped doing it, and they're gone. You know, wow. And who knows what's what, et cetera. But the fact is, she's not having headaches. She correlates it to that. And you think of, like, all the kids out there, as we're talking about, who they're just raised with it. You know, parents are on all the time. The kids are all the time. And I know that's different in different households. But when we don't talk about the real potential risks, the unknowns, the ethics behind all of this, you know, that's where we go down the slippery slope. And we put ourselves, our lives, our health at risk.
Right. And what I think parents are feeling less and less choice, especially I know when I'm a health teacher. So when our school was sent home during the lockdown, everyone was thrown onto Zoom. Teachers got no training on privacy. I kept bringing it up, privacy, privacy, privacy. And of course, we stumbled into all kinds of problems. We were putting Google behavior plans and student behavior issues on Google Docs. And I brought it up to the principal, and she was like, you know, privacy issues. And she said, that's a scary thought. I don't want to think about that. You know, and I think people are just, they're so overwhelmed now, you know, that even if their kids are having problems, I met a mother whose child was sent home with the Chromebook during the lockdown and started to get addicted to online stuff that he was accessing through this computer. And they begged the school, can we please get handouts? Can we please get dittos? This screen, he cannot manage this, and we can't manage this. They said no.
Oh, gosh.
No option for this. So just the fact that it's omitted, and I think parents just feel like a sense of surrender. There's the surrendering. I even talked to a librarian who about this 5G issue yesterday, and same thing. Her brain just went right to, well, what are you going to do about it? And I was like, well, write a song like Emily Langston.
Right.
She didn't write it, but, you know, produce a song, get kids together, teach kids about this. You know, we had Annette Smith on last week who was talking about the 5G tower here in Warren and things you can do. There are zoning rules. There are nuts and bolts put into place to make this all happen. And if we can understand those nuts and bolts, we at least feel more empowered to know where to go and target our approach. So what are some things you two have been working on? I know you're not just homeschooling moms and things. You also have careers. You also have activist issues that you're passionate about. What are some, and you are connected to technology. I don't want listeners to think that these two women don't use technology to their fullest. I mean, they're all over the place getting the word out and using it as a communication tool very wisely. So with the last few minutes, how about Allison on the phone? We'll start with you. What else do you want to talk about? What's forefront in your mind and your heart?
Gosh, it's such a hard thing to like bubble it. What's not in my mind?
We could start with that.
No, I think I think it's a matter of what's in forefront of my mind is just again focusing on, you know, providing joy in our family, and especially, you know, with young ones, and you know, focusing on what it means to be a family and a community, and you know, basically trying to not run away from hard conversations and trying to engage people in the community that maybe have a different point of view. You know, in fact, I do some volunteering, like I said, in for our town, and you know, I was, I think, the only person that had the opinions that I did, but I started to engage with three other women that I was working with, and just trying to say, look, I think we all can acknowledge that there's been harm, and we all love this town, and we all want to work together, and they all agreed. They said, yeah, one of the great things about our town is that there's people with just, you know, completely different political affiliations and feelings about this or that, but when we need to come together on something, we come together. And I think that, you know, that's one of the reasons why I moved here. It's one of the reasons why I stay here. And that's really where I'm focused, is what can I do in my little sort of slice of the world to promote connection, compassion, community, understanding, and, you know, trying to just, you know, tone it down a little bit, I guess is what I'd like to say. It's tough. But, you know, provide that so that, you know, there is something to hold on to when, you know, when I'm not here, basically. So that's kind of where I'm focused, is just, you know, and obviously, you know, understanding how I can, you know, better help my little one, you know, navigate through this world. So that's what I'm focused on. Yeah.
Nice. And I was going to also say, I mean, I feel like I fully agree. These are the most important conversations, and all of this respect for differences, for all of us to really take into heart and act upon, you know, out in our worlds and all the people that we interact with on a regular basis. It's so important for us to respect and to be able to have the conversations and really just make sure that that's happening so we don't go into a dark ages. I mean, honestly, I think that's also a really big thing, is there's a lot that you go back historically and you look at, you know, when we thought that the earth was the center of the universe, and you look at how people were treated for health, you know, what they did for medicine, and, you know, all of that, everything, so much we've gotten wrong, you know, and it's like, how do you create space where we can accept, oh gosh, we got something wrong. You know, like we got to overturn that. We have to like ask the right questions. We got to figure this out. We have to move forward together. And I feel like that's a really important piece of, we need to keep thinking. We need to keep asking questions. We need to keep educating ourselves, looking at all sides of the story, having the conversations so that we can, as humanity, figure things out and find answers, right? Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we're going to get plunged into a box. We're not going to be able to, you know what's what. We're not going to have real solutions or real wisdom. So I think we need to keep working towards that and making sure that that happens. And that's all about asking questions and freedom of speech, right? And if you don't have that, you can't get there. It's so important. And that's one thing I do struggle with our legislature right now, I have to say. There's such a super, super majority, and there's such a so much pressure for people within the sort of ruling party, so to speak, the Democratic Party, to fall in line, mm-hmm. and to vote party line. Like, there's not much real freedom. So I think the question is, you know, who are the legislators really representing? Should they always go with the party line? Like, of course, all of us can look and say, no, they shouldn't. But with a super, super majority, then what ends up happening is the conversation gets pushed aside. We don't have to have a conversation. We don't need to talk about this. We don't really care what you guys think, because we can make anything happen. And that's the danger with the imbalance in the legislature right now. And I hope it's not going to play out, but already coming down the pike, and maybe that's for like a different conversation, you know, at a different time. But I do really see it as a real problem in the state, because typically, right, a legislator is about, we come together, and at least my opinion is there's two primary roles. You protect and defend the people and uphold constitutional rights, right? Inalienable rights. And you also solve problems, right? Mm-hmm. You distribute money, you figure out budgets, you solve problems. What do we have to do? Both of those things need to be happening, right? And in order for that to happen, there needs to be real conversation. And if you don't have a balance of different opinions and thoughts being respected, you know, just like we're talking about here, to be able to have these conversations in our families, friends, communities when we disagree is critical, but also in the legislature, when they're creating policy and law that impacts all of us. Like, these conversations have to happen. And I really hope that in this session coming up, that there will be respect for that, and that that will happen. I mean, obviously, time will tell where we land on that, but yeah, that just comes to mind too, just in this conversation. Because again, the conversations that they're having and they're supposed to have impact all of us. They're really, really important. Yeah, and then I had another thought, but I don't want to jump in too much or take over.
No, that's okay. Keep going. Okay, yeah, we've got about 5 or 8 minutes left.
Okay. So just one other thought that I really feel is critical, just going back to kids and something I think about with my children, my own children, as well as my students, is asking the question, you know, what is health? You know, how do you achieve health? How do you hold on to health? And obviously, with technology, I look at my dad. He's sort of a prime example. Amazing man. I love him with all of my heart. He's a smoker. He's had several heart attacks. He doesn't really care what he eats. You know, we all make our own choices, right? It's mm-hmm. all totally personal. Fortunately, there's the technology that has kept him alive. But then there's other people who are like, no, I really want to, you know, be proactive. I really want to take care of myself. I want to eat well. I want to do everything I can to try to be healthy. Because I think we all know how we feel and our health, it impacts the entire part of all of our life, mm-hmm. our quality of life. It impacts how we feel. It's such a big thing. And that's where one of the things that I also wanted to bring up, because I do feel I really, really struggle with this, and I feel it's important for people to think about. And it might be initially sort of jarring for people to hear this, but I feel like it's really worthy thought or a conversation is, you know, in the 1960s, people had, you know, maybe 3 to 5 vaccines, right? In 1983, there was, you know, give or take on average about 10 vaccines. 1986, with the Vaccine Injury Act, this is where President Reagan signed in, which really indemnified it basically made it where pharmaceutical companies cannot be held liable for any damage related to vaccines. So they were fully, fully protected. And so that was 1986. Fast forward to today, children on a vaccine schedule, 74 vaccines if they are on a full schedule. 80% of them have aluminum. Most of them used to have mercury until it was like, oops, sorry, guys, mercury's a neurotoxin. We're going to take that out of the mix. We know that aluminum is also a neurotoxin. So the question is, what are these vaccines doing? Is that real health? Is that what it takes to be healthy? And that's where, when you look at my thesis from my master's, I looked a lot at public health measures. What is public health, right? Public health, I think all of us could say, it's access to clean water, right? It's dealing with sewage and sanitation. It's hygiene. It's nutrition. It's watching, you know, so you don't get overcrowding. You get good airflow. So infectious disease really resulted from all of these issues. People left the country. They came into cities. We had all of these issues happening in the cities. They had to be dealt with. So when you really look at the timelines, you see, when did vaccines come in? Vaccines came in much later, after we already had massive infectious disease declines, because we dealt with real public health measures. You know, does it take injecting a child with 74 vaccines, a lot of them with aluminum, or you talk about the COVID vaccine when you want to get into nanotech, biotech, and synthetic biology, you know, together with so much unknown, so much risk? You know, the question is that what it really takes to be healthy? And I would say, at least in my opinion, absolutely not. Like, that's not real health. And that's where it's like, I think the kids, with all the propaganda and the marketing and the advertising and the messaging that we are subjected to, I think the kids really need to know, like, what does it take to be healthy? You know, access to clean water. What is, you know, how do you define and teach a child about good food and real nutrition? And we live in Vermont. We are surrounded by so many amazing farms, and we can't let them close. You know, so many are closing. So we really have to watch that. And that's where I feel like, you know, just to sort of put that thought out there of what does it really take to be healthy, you know? And I think that's important for the kids, as we see a lot of the health decline in children today on many levels. And it's something we need to watch for. Yeah.
It is really scary. Everyone is way less healthy than we were before the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And we weren't in great shape before. We were not in great shape before the pandemic at all. Mm-hmm. And I had a chance to talk to a legislator over the summer who had voted. He's a Democrat, and he had voted no on a bill that was very controversial this past year. And he explained they pulled him into a room, and his best friends, you know, ganged up on him. Mm-hmm. It was awful. It was awful.
That was over the clean heat standard. Yeah. Right.
I didn't want to out who it might be. But, you know, his story, and it sounded so similar to what happened to me when I started to question the lockdowns and masks and things. And similar to our guests last week who spoke about 5G, you know, they're being treated the same way, even though, you know, Annette Smith is a hugely experienced, worked for the state. You know, I mean, she understands these laws and regulations. But if you bring up certain things, you're shut down. Mm-hmm. And that gets us back to the censorship issue. So now you all listening out there understand why it is so important that we support WMRW. And we want to really thank you. There really is not any other station in the state that I can think of that would have had this conversation today, or the one we had last week, or the week before, the week before, the week before. So this has been so much fun and healing for me, and I really feel like speaking is healing for all of us. So thank you, Allison. We had Allison Despathy, clinical nutritionist, who ran as an independent for the legislature last year, and she's been teaching in Vermont state colleges for 20-plus years. And on the phone, we had Allison Casavecchia, a working mom in the kingdom who loves freedom and unity as much as we do. So that's why we get along. And this has just been such an uplifting thing, just knowing you all and talking with you too. And it was my honor to bring you to the airwaves today. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you so much for having us, Amy. This is amazing. Thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you, Allison. And we're going to close with a Celebrate the Children song. Nothing better.
There are creatures in our midst, half monster, half angel, the only devils you want to kiss. Again and again and again and again, they give us life and laughter. All they ask is that we love them, make our voices rise to the rafters, and give us a hug, so we celebrate the children. They're our world, they're what's in it for us. Celebrate the children, then we'll know how to celebrate ourselves. Celebrate the children, not just
just today, or only a week, a month, or a year, forever. They can teach you how to dream, keep it honest, keep it guessing, show you more ways to let off steam than a tea kettle can. Oh, priorities out the door, rearrange them for the better, much clearer than before, for the love of a child. So celebrate the children, they're our world, they're what's in it for us. Celebrate the children, then we'll know how to celebrate ourselves. Celebrate the children, not just today, or only a week, a month, or a year, forever. In this time of human blindness, teach them peace, teach them vision, show them that there's strength and kindness that give you hope in return. They're the future of this planet. It's in our homes, in their hands. We'll lose if we take them for granted. They're everything we got to. Celebrate the children. They're our world. They're what's in it for us. Celebrate the children. Then we'll know how to celebrate ourselves. Celebrate the children. Not just today, or only a week, a month, or a year. Cheers!